It has been well and truly said, and it needs to be said here today, that bereavement leaves us speechless. And it has been said that bereavement takes away the ability for us to form words that would in any way measure up how we feel, or use words that would in any way measure up to the one that we have lost. All of us who knew our sister knew what a woman she was for God, for truth, for righteousness, and for the gospel's sake. Thank God, someday we will meet her again, when the clouds are all lifted, when the pain is all gone, when the suffering is a thing of the past, that with her and her loved ones, those of us who are redeemed by the Savior's blood will rejoice together. Thank God there'll be no more parting, no more funerals, no more death, for death will be swallowed up in victory. And I'd like to say on behalf of all of the churches our deep sympathy with the family tonight, today. And I know that you're being upheld by the prayers of the people of God. I'd like to read just a few verses from the Epistle to the Romans at the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter of Romans at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God will bless the reading of his blessed word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's stand for a word of prayer together. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, he undertakes for me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. On an occasion like this, it is the duty of the gospel preacher to set forth the wonders of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the necessity for us all to have a saving interest in Christ and in Christ alone. Quite recently I was struck again with that great verse, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The simplicity of that text, the wonderful reality of it in experience, and the joy of knowing that this is God's way of salvation. And God's way of salvation is by His Son. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then thinking on this text, my mind was directed to those that call upon the name of the Lord. And in the Gospels, we find three special prayers. And those prayers are worth mentioning today. What is the prayer that brings the soul into an eternal relationship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit? What is that prayer? We see its simplicity, but when we study the Gospels, we read of three people who prayed this prayer in the three special circumstances and became partakers of fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The first prayer is a prayer that is mentioned in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. And in that Gospel, we have a statement concerning a dear woman who had a great problem. A problem with her daughter. And she was in the mangles of pain and agony and desperation. And in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 25, she uttered a prayer. It was a very simple prayer. It was not long. It just had three words in it. She prayed, "Lord, help me." Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in each of these prayers that I want to mention to you today, the honor is given to Christ. "Lord, help me." A short prayer, but it carried in it the cry of a soul who had a tremendous burden. And that burden could only be shifted by the grace and power of the Gospel. Today, every one of us have sinned and brought wickedness to bear in our life and among our friends. And we have built up guilt because of that sin and because of the violation of God's commandments. We are guilty people. But there's one thing we can do today, and that is we can call upon the name of the Lord. And not only so, but we can say the prayer, "Lord, help me." The only person that can help you with the sin question is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not received through church attendance or through exercising the sacraments, as they're called, or trying to do your best. Your best is not enough. It's only the best effort of one stained already with sin. But what you have to do is to obey this book. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, help me. I trust today, as you look out at those that mourn, as you think of our sister, and for all that she was for God and truth and righteousness, as a daughter and as a wife and as a mother and as a grandmother and great-grandmother. As we think of her today, we thank God there was a day in her life when she cried out, Lord, help me. She was faced up to the fact that there was only one thing only and one person only that could help her, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God he's here in this meeting today to help any soul that will call upon him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But when we turn to one chapter back from that chapter that I've quoted from in Matthew, we come to the Apostle Peter. The woman that I have mentioned needed the Lord to help her. But Peter, in the previous chapter, needed the Lord to save him. And he cried in verse 30, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. A cry for help. A cry for salvation. Jesus knows all about our struggles. But struggling, it's not going to help you. You have to get into contact with the only one who can save to the very uttermost all that come unto him. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Mark the fact that the Lord's name is here. Lord, save me. The woman had need of help. But Peter had need of haste. He was sinking. And the record tells us he was sinking and going down into the depths of that storm-tossed billow on Galilee's lake. But the Lord immediately, I love that word, immediately. You don't need to argue with the Lord when you're coming to him. He is so willing to receive you that when the cry leaves your lips and before it's fully out, thank God the great deed is done. I remember the day I was saved as a boy, and I remember with trembling lips and tears running down my cheeks, I asked God to have mercy upon me. And before I had the prayer out, thank God the Spirit answered to the blood that I was born of God. Jesus Christ is the great Savior. And Peter, of course, proved that, Lord, save me. But when we turn over to the cross and the work of the cross that Jesus wrought, and there's a record of that in the 23rd chapter of Luke, There was a man there. He needed to call on God. He was one of the dying thieves. He had partaken with his colleague in crime, mocking the Savior. And then there was a change came. And the change came because the situation to him changed. And instead of seeing a false prophet claiming to be someone that he wasn't, he saw the King. He saw Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And he cried out, "Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me." And God, Christ remembered him. He put the date away forward. And he said, "When thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." But the Lord said, "No, I'm going to remember you this day. This day you're going to walk in paradise with me." That great preacher, J.C. Ryle, preaches a great sermon upon the salvation of this dying thief. And he had this to say. He said, "The angels wondered who accompanied the risen Son of God to the gates of heaven and cried, 'I'm coming in, I'm the King of heaven. But who is this man?' They said, 'That's with them. Who is it? Is it not Peter or John or one of the apostles? Who is this man?' There's a man that cried, 'Lord, remember me.' And the Lord remembered him. And all the glory that shone upon the Son of God in his exaltation shone in eternal brightness of a person beside him. 'This day thou shalt be with me in paradise.' What a day that was. But tell me, if your body was in that casket and we were saying farewell to you, where would your soul be? That's the question that you've got to answer. Where would your soul be? In the darkness of a lost eternity, to suffer the pains and agonies of the damned forever, or in the city of God, among the people of God, with Christ as your beloved Savior? Which is it going to be? I know if our sister was here, she would say to me, 'Ian, press it home. Press the gospel home on the people that have come.' And I trust that today souls from this meeting will meet our sister at God's right hand, and then her heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. May God bless his word to our hearts. Do not forget that simple word: whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, remember me. May it be so, for his great name's sake. Amen.